Good morning.
Good morning.
Nice to see you all. We have some rain falling. Now, I know that might sort of disappoint you. We've had such nice sunny weather. But we can't survive on sun alone. If we had sun all the time, everything out there would die. So God, in his wonderful wisdom, has turned on the rain. Because that which is growing needs it. And the creatures need it. But I want you to notice that the rain that's falling today is a good rain. It's the sort of rain that a farmer likes. Because it's not a downpour that comes down in such a volume, it hits the ground, and before the ground really has a chance to soak it in, it runs down the field, down the shuck, as we call it, and down the hill into the river. No, this is a nice rain. The drops are all very close together, and they're small, and it just is covering everything with a gentle fall. And the water is soaking into the ground, not running away, but soaking in and doing good. So even when it rains, boys and girls, I want you to see the mercy of God, the mercy of God. Now let's turn to Matthew 21, Matthew chapter 21, and the verse 28, the Lord Jesus is speaking. It was a great thing to have had an opportunity of hearing God manifested in the flesh speaking. The vast majority of people who heard the Savior speak, even among the apostles, didn't realize the honor that was theirs. We too can hear the Lord speaking. Oh, we can't see him as he was seen back then, but we have his words. And when we read the Bible, God is speaking, and that's a great honor. But boys and girls, there are very few who recognize the honor that it is to listen to the words of God. In the past, there were those who recognized this honor, and such was their recognition of the honor of having in the Bible the very words of God coming straight from his mouth, that they died rather than give it up. They died the most terrible deaths rather than give it up. And that book you are holding in your hand, in which at the end of the assembly you'll close and it'll be gathered and, I hope, stacked reverently on the window ledge. That book cost thousands their life's blood in order for you to get it, have it, and enjoy it. Tens of thousands have died. As they died, they knew why it was they were dying. They knew and hoped and trusted that by their dying, boys and girls throughout their nation, and indeed throughout the world, would have the word of God to read. The great Tyndale, man who labored very much to give us that book, said that he, by God's grace, would translate it into English so that even the ploughboy would have the word of God. Now, ploughboys back in his day didn't have very much. Most of them wouldn't have had shoes on their feet, hardly food to eat, but the man of God was determined that they'd have the Bible. And the workings of the Bible in our nation, here in the British Isles, has brought us much, much, much benefit and made us what we are. At least everything that is good about us has come from the Bible. Well, now having said that, let's look at verse 28. What think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, Son, go work today in my vineyard. And he answered and said, I will not. And afterward he repented and went. And he came to the second and said likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. In those few words, we have the account of two sons, both refusing to obey their father. And we have already considered how that illustrates for us the rebelliousness of mankind. There never was a son born into this world, or a daughter, but acted in exactly the same fashion regarding the commands of God. They will not, did not, have not, won't do what God bids them to do. Now, I want to come a little further, and I want you to notice a very important difference in the attitudes of the two sons. One son sought to conceal, to cover over his disobedience. He answered and said, "I go, sir," and went not. He pretended to go. I'm inclined to think that when his father spoke to him, he said, "I go, sir," and made a start in the direction of the vineyard. So it looked as if he was indeed going to obey his father. But he never arrived in the vineyard. Maybe as soon as his father turned his back, he headed off in another direction. He knew what he should do, obey his father. But he only pretended to do it. He thought nothing about deceiving his father, really mocking his father. Thought nothing about that. Now, how many are like that? How many of you here today are like that? Let me show you how you may well be like that. When you hear the gospel, maybe you give the same sort of response to the gospel as did this son. You hear the gospel, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And you say, "I believe," but you don't. You only pretend to believe. You have a mere pretended religion. Maybe you've told mummy, daddy, Sunday school teacher, preacher, "Oh yes, I got saved." But you didn't really. You only said that because you knew that's what you should say. You knew that mummy and daddy and the Sunday school teacher and the minister and friends, that's what they wanted you to do. And so you said that you were obeying the gospel, but you weren't really. It was only a show. Just like this son. And you have only a pretended religion, a sham obedience. People might look at you. You appear to be making a start toward the vineyard. That's all it is, just a start. You don't continue. In church you might put on a face, and you might hold your Bible and turn over the pages and look up the references. But when you get out of church, it's a different story. It's a different story. Like this son, when he was out of sight of his father, he went back to what he really was. And he stopped pretending to be what his father would like him to be. Boys and girls, beware of a pretended religion. Beware of a pretended obedience to God's commands. If that's the case with you, your whole life is a lie. It's a falsehood. There's nothing to it. And there's something to be really remembered. The lie will be found out one day. One day. We read in the scriptures of a time when men will be gathered before the Savior. And they will say, "Oh yes, we obeyed you. We did everything you wanted. We call you Lord." And the Savior will say to them, "Depart from me, ye wicked. I never knew you. I never knew you. You said to others that you were the friend of God, that you were walking with God, but it was all a lie." Don't think you can get away with the lie. Prisons are full with men and women who think they can get away with a lie. Take that which is not theirs, conceal that theft from others, the police, the judges, and everybody around. And they can pretend that what they now have is theirs, even though it really belongs to someone else. But the lie gets caught out, and they end up in jail. And we ought to learn from this. If God is showing to us in the affairs of the nation that even men can see through the lies of others, how much more should we understand that God, who sees all things, will detect the lie? Well, this brother, he was disobedient. He refused to obey his father, but he put on a show and pretended that he was obeying his father. Now, the other son, he was open in his defiance. He was open in his defiance. When he was told to go, he says, "I will not. I'm not going to go. He didn't make any pretense. He was open. But then we're told, afterward, he repented of his defiance, of his rebellion, and he went. I tell you this, boys and girls, heaven is full of those who started out in life saying to God, I want nothing to do with you. I'll not obey you. I'll not listen to what it is you say. I'll not read your book. I'll not heed the gospel. But then they repented, and they did what was right. And today they're in heaven. In hell, there are millions and millions and millions. Like the son who, when he was told by his father to go to the vineyard, he said, I go, sir. Yes, yes. Happy to do what it is you want, but he didn't go. And hell is full of people like that. Hell is full of people like that. Oh, beware of pretending to obey God. Take note of what it is. We read about this son who, though he was openly rebellious, there came a change. You know, boys and girls, it's wonderful that it's possible to be changed. God in his grace can change rebellious sons and daughters into obedient sons and daughters who live for him and do his will. Do you know the first word that the Lord Jesus uttered when he began his ministry? Do you know the first word he uttered? Repent. That's what he uttered. You find that in the fourth chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. It's recorded that the Lord Jesus began his ministry and the first word he uttered was repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Do you know what the word repent means? Well, I don't know if you have ever watched soldiers marching. I'm not sure if the trooping of the colour is over. That's a wonderful event that takes place in London, where the army unit that guards Buckingham Palace is on parade and inspected by the Queen. And it takes place in London. It's a lovely spectacle of intricate marching by the household units of the British Army. It usually is on Saturday morning. If it's not passed, you should ask Mum and Dad and take a time to have a wee look at it on the television. It really is something. But anyway, you will see, if you do watch that, and you maybe have already seen this take place, you will see soldiers marching, striding out, and then the command is issued, and it's very precise. The command is issued as the left foot of the soldier hits the ground, so that whoever's giving the command, he has to be in step, as it were, and give the command at the right moment. And he says, about turn! And he shouts, turn, just as the left foot hits the ground, and the soldier then does a complete turning round and heads off in the opposite direction. That's what it means to repent. Turn right round and go in the opposite direction. Turn from your sin and begin to go in the direction God wants you to go in. And that's what this son did. He said, I'll not go. I will not. But then he repented and he went. I have no doubt that this son, when given the command by his father, sort of stood right up into his father's face and said, I go not. And he turned on his heel and he went in the opposite direction that he should have gone in toward the vineyard. He went in the opposite direction. And as he strode away from his father in defiance, he would have slowed down and he would have said, I'm doing wrong. And he would have turned around and he would have started for the vineyard. That's what it is to be converted. That's what it is to be saved. That's what happens when a person hears the gospel, and though they're sinful in their attitude at first and refuse it and don't want to hear it and defy God, God in his grace changes their heart and they repent and they set out to do God's bidding. Has that happened to you? Has it? Now I'll tell you this. If it has happened, you know all about it. You can't turn right round and go in the opposite direction without knowing that you have done that. Without knowing that such a change has happened. But on the other hand, if you haven't repented, no matter how much you pretend, it's pretty clear you're still going in the old sinful direction, heading away from God. And you can't really deceive yourself. Which of the sons represents you? Which one? Which one? I know the one I want to be represented by, and I know the one that I would like you to be represented by. The one who repented, changed his mind, changed his direction, and obeyed his Father. Give heed to God's word today, boys and girls. Let's bow in prayer. O God, our Heavenly Father, I pray that in your mercy you will bless the word to the hearts of each one here. Bring home to the Lord Jesus just how it is they stand before God. Save little ones. Bless our school. Take care of it. Meet its need. Oh, may your presence be known in the classrooms. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.